Welcome to this talk about LibreOffice accessibility and how it's implemented on the different platforms. My name is Michael. I'm a LibreOffice developer working for the Document Foundation with primary focus on accessibility. Okay, first let's start with a definition of accessibility. That's from Wikipedia. Accessibility is the design of products, devices, services, vehicles, or environments so as to be usable by people with disabilities. The concept of accessible design and practice of accessible development ensures both direct access, that means unassisted, and indirect access, meaning compatibility with a person's assistive technology, for example, computer screen readers. And that second aspect is what this talk will focus on, how assistive technology can interfere with LibreOffice or can interact with LibreOffice. So if a person is, for example, visually impaired or blind, how they can still use LibreOffice. One sample scenario of using an assistive technology, a screen reader in this case, is, for example, if we have a dialogue like the one that shows up when you close a document while still having changes that are not saved, the screen reader will read out the text of the dialogue. Do you want to save the changes? And then the user can interact with the dialogue using the keyboard, for example, the tab key to move between the buttons, and then LibreOffice sends an event on the via the accessibility protocol of the platform. The screen reader receives that event, and then it can ask for additional information, and then announce whatever it is there, for example, a cancel button. So the objects have different attributes, like a name and a role, and states and so on. So there's certain specifications that describe what they can have. But the screen reader gets that information, can then announce it. For example, cancel button or OK button and so on. So that's on the high level. The interesting bit is how that works. How does LibreOffice transmit that information to the screen reader? And that's platform specific. For a simple case, an overview, we have some kind of application that's using some UI toolkit. The simple application is just built out of toolkit widgets, and the toolkit takes care of everything and makes the application accessible by translating that to whatever accessibility protocol is used on Linux, Windows, macOS, and maybe even more platforms, and then the screen reader or assistive technology can interact with that. So it goes both ways. But in that case, the application doesn't actually have to know what the platform does, but the toolkit takes care of everything. That's the nice scenario, which we don't have in LibreOffice, unfortunately. So in our case, it's a bit more complex. This is a simplified diagram. We have the application again, as in the previous diagram. And we do have widgets, of course. And these widgets can be native toolkit widgets. We don't have a single toolkit, but we support different toolkits on Linux. We have GTK3, GTK4, or QT5, QT6. In this case, when we use native widgets, then the toolkit takes care of it and translates it to the platform accessibility protocol, which is ATSBI on Linux. We don't always use native toolkit widgets. If we don't, then we have to do all of that stuff ourselves. So we do not need to know what does the platform do on Windows and macOS. We don't use any UI toolkit, but we actually translate everything ourselves. We support the iAccessible 2 protocol on Windows and the inaccessibility protocol on macOS. And we have an internal accessibility API, which is the X-Accessible API. So whatever we want to expose in the platform layer internally uses the accessible API. For example, our widgets, our VCL widgets, they use that API or support that API. And then we have accessibility bridges that translate that to the platform protocol, for example, iAccessible 2 on Windows or NS Accessibility on macOS. On Linux, we use the toolkit again, so we have this internal API, but then we use whatever the toolkit provides. For example, GTK4 has an API, I'll go into that in the next slides, and that translates it to ATSBI again, so the platform protocol. For Qt, it's basically the same. For GTK3, there's an intermediate layer, which is ATK, but I'll get into that a little more soon. So, like about the platforms again. So for Windows and macOS, as I mentioned, we do all of this stuff ourselves. We support, we implement an accessibility bridge which directly implements iAccessible 2 on Windows. We do not support UIA natively. That's a newer protocol. But there is some basic support by some MSAA to UIA proxy. So Windows comes with some automatic bridge. So we have some basic support for UIA as well. On macOS, we directly implement the NS Accessibility protocol, as I mentioned. So we have a bridge that does this by itself. On Linux, as I mentioned, we do have different UI variants that we support. So depending on what UI variant is used, the way is a little different. In all cases, the platform protocol is the same, which is ATSPI, as I mentioned before. For GTK3, which is currently the most accessible UI variant on Linux, we use native widgets, so all of this native widget automatically is translated by the toolkit. But the other bit is the document, and our document content is not built out of widgets, but that's all custom accessibility implementations. So somehow we also need to get the semantics of the document to the screen reader and the interaction. For example, if you move between paragraphs, then the screen reader should be notified that another paragraph is focused now and can read out what's the text there, for example. And for that, for GTK3, we use the ATK toolkit, which is also what GTK itself uses internally, and that translates it to the platform accessibility protocol, which is ATSPI, as I mentioned. For GTK4, it looks a little different because GTK4 dropped all of the accessibility stuff that GTK3 had, and they started something new. So GTK no longer uses ATK, GTK4 no longer uses ATK, but it implements the ATSPI protocol directly. Or there's also, since recently, another option to use AccessKit, which is again in a library that does it, that does the translation and also supports macOS and Windows. But the default is still the GTK internal implementation right now. The not so nice thing currently is that because ATK was dropped and there's a new API in GTK, we need to do things differently, which by itself is not a problem. There is a GTK accessible API for applications, so LibreOffice can implement that API, and if it does that, then GTK takes care of translating things to ATSPI on Linux. The main problem is that currently this API doesn't provide everything we need. So we currently cannot expose all of the document content the way we would have to.
2 minutes.
Yes, thanks. Most important thing, or one of the main things, is we can't notify about focus changes. So when the user changes from one paragraph to another, the screen reader just won't notice because LibreOffice can't notify, because GTK just lacks the API to do that. There's some discussion with upstream, but there's still some things that are missing. For that reason, we don't use GTK4 by default anywhere right now. So we still default to GTK3 on GNOME, independent of the version. For Qt, we also have some accessibility API, which is Qt Accessible Interface and Friends, which bridges to ATSPI directly. There have been some recent improvements in Qt. So Qt6 has most of the API we need. And there's some things missing, at least I know of hyperlink support, but I'm quite optimistic we can work together with the Qt project to get this in someday. So GTK3 currently is still the most accessible variant, but I'd say Qt6 is getting closer, and I'm quite optimistic we can get that pretty accessible if we put some more work into that. Some more things of interest. I mentioned that ATSPI is the protocol used in Linux at the moment, but there's also some proof of concept accessibility stack called Newton that might replace ATSPI at some point. The main idea is that it's a push-based approach, so the application always pushes any changes, and there's no need for the assistive tooling to query any information. What is to be known is that it's also mentioned it doesn't really know yet how to deal with big documents, for example, so that's an open point. But it's interesting to keep an eye on that and see how it goes. And one of the main things I want to say is that in order to be really accessible, that's something that LibreOffice can't do by itself. So even if we implement all the protocols very nicely, there might be things on the toolkit level or on the assistive technology level that expect things differently. So actually making LibreOffice accessible is an effort that needs to involve all of the projects, all of the components. And I'm really thankful that working together with all the people in the different projects works really well, and for all the support I get there and the input. So I really want to say a big thanks to everyone involved, both in the toolkits and libraries and also on the assistive technology side. I'm really, really thankful for all the people there. That's it so far. There's some links if you're interested in learning more about LibreOffice accessibility or getting involved. There are some links in the presentation. It's in the FOSDEM systems. So you can get it there. Thanks a lot for your attention. And if you have any questions, you can ask me afterwards.